Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
A couple of messages on Black Sod, on Full Dove, what I was talking about earlier on. This is Tim in Dublin who tells the quirky extra bit of the story. Yes, it was Timmy Mallett's mother who received the weather report. This is on England, on the other side of Maureen Flavin Sweeney's weather report that was telephoned through by Ted. And Timmy Mallett recently did a Wild Atlantic Way cycle and had an emotional meeting at Black Sod with the weather lady's grandson, I believe, says Tim in Dublin. Yes, we heard all about that actually when we were over Erris Way. And someone else is talking about World War II. Yes, it's about a story which we're about to go into now, because I mentioned earlier on we're looking at a new exhibition telling the stories of 12 Irish people, heroes, who joined the resistance in various places in Central Europe, invaded by the Nazis in World War II. Mary Moynihan is the woman behind the whole thing. She's on the line. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Oliver.
How are you? Where exactly is this exhibition happening?
Well, the exhibition is taking place in the new Smashing Times Arts and Human Rights Centre, which is at 30 Sandy Cove Road in Dublin.
It's on the main road through the village of Sandy Cove.
Absolutely, yes. Very near to the 40-foot swimming place.
Very good. That'll be easy to find. Smashing Times. And it's 12 people, isn't it?
Yes. So we're presenting this exhibition as part of the annual Irish Art and Human Rights Festival. Mm-hmm. And the exhibition is called Irish in Resistance During World War II. And these are stories of remarkable people who were living in Europe during the Second World War, and who each in their own way defied fascism and oppression. And they stood up, took action to defend the rights and dignities of others. And we're presenting, as you said, 12 stories. Yeah. And these stories are presented in the form of artistic storyboards, where you can read a synopsis of the story and learn about each person.
Very nice.
And then we have a series of artworks that we created in response to these stories by four artists.
Lovely way to tell the tale. Someone's already texting us about Mary Elms, who was like an Irish Oscar Schindler. Tell us about her.
Oh, absolutely. She's an extraordinary woman. Mary Elms was born in 1908 in Cork. And she's actually an Irish person who's honoured as Righteous Among Nations for her work saving Jewish children from the Nazi gas chambers during World War II. And as you said, she's like an Irish Oscar Schindler. And mm-hmm. we know she saved over 200 children, spiriting these children out of the camps. She was working in a camp called Rivesalt in the south of France, where she initially worked with Spanish refugees who were incarcerated in this camp. Yeah. And then when the Nazis took over northern France and under the Vichy government, they were arresting and putting Jewish families into the camp where Mary was working. And Mary and her colleagues did everything they could to rescue as many people who were being sent off on the trains to the deaths in the camps in Germany and Poland.
Of course, she faced death herself if she was caught doing that.
Oh, absolutely. All of these people, there's a number of different people who are involved in different ways, and they faced torture, imprisonment, not only their own deaths, but the deaths of their families. They were extraordinarily brave people, ordinary citizens caught up in extraordinary circumstances, and yet doing what they could to stand up for the rights of strangers.
She was in Malaga, was she, during the Spanish Civil War as well? And
Mary actually, she studied Spanish and French in Trinity College, and then she went to the London School of Economics, and then she won a scholarship to Geneva. And in Geneva, the Spanish Civil War broke out mm-hmm. in 1936. And Mary went over to Spain in 1937, and she arrived in as the city of Malaga fell to the fascists. And thousands of people, mostly women and children, fled Malaga along the coastal road to Almeria. And they were bombed by the fascists from the sea and the sky. And they say between 3,000 and 5,000 people were massacred. And Mary arrived in Almeria as this massacre was taking place. It was like a baptism of fire. And you know, she referred to her Spanish friends. She then worked in Spain for as long as they could until Franco's regime took over Spain. And then over a million Spanish refugees fled over the border into France. And Mary and the Quakers followed them, went into France. And the Spanish refugees, once they got to France, they were actually incarcerated in camps on the beaches and in the camp Rivesalt near Perpignan, where Mary ended up working and where she just ended up doing extraordinary work. Her family have said that they believe she saved several hundred people, not just children, adults, and people of all nationalities.
Extraordinary. She lived till 2002.
Yes, yes. I think she was 93 when she passed away.
That's extraordinary.
And Oliver, what's amazing about many of these stories, many of these people, is that they didn't look for any credit for the work they had done.
Absolutely, yeah. I think there's a bridge in Cork named after Mary Ellen's now. But I'm
there
not
is,
sure
yes,
she
yes.
lived to see that.
There's a bridge in Cork.
Catherine Crean I want to talk about as well, because that's in Belgium and you don't hear much about the Belgian resistance during World War II.
Oh yeah, this is another incredible story. So Catherine Crean, she's actually from, she was born in Moore Street and she was working as an Irish governess in Brussels during World War II for Baron M. Payne and Henri Zinner in Brussels. And when the war started, she joined the resistance.
Yeah.
And then she was involved with the Comet Escape Line. So escape lines were these, I suppose, secret networks set up to assist people to escape from Nazi-occupied Europe.
And I love the name, the Comet Escape Line.
Yeah, it was called the Comet Escape Line. And their motto was fight without arms, because these were people who resisted in peaceful ways.
Wow.
And Catherine became friends with a woman called Nadine de Mom, who was in the Comet Escape Lines. And both women were eventually captured by the Nazis at different times. And they both ended up in Ravensbrück concentration camp for women. Mm-hmm. Now, we know Catherine's story because Nadine de Mom, later in life, Nadine survived the war and she told the story to an Irish man, John Morgan. And John is fantastic. John has passed on a lot of his research to us. And Nadine describes how she saw Catherine one final time in Ravensbrück concentration camp in 1943. And Catherine was lay dying on a bunk in one of the large huts.
Oh my God.
And Nadine wrote that she was returning to her own bunk, like weak with fatigue and hunger. And she heard Catherine call to her. She didn't realize Catherine was in the camp with her. And she heard Catherine call, and Catherine asked Nadine to comb her beautiful red hair, as Nadine writes, which lay scattered around her pale face. Catherine had red hair and possibly her hair wasn't cut because it was red and very unusual. And Nadine was so weak that she was very upset. She could barely hold the comb, but she did her best to comb Catherine's hair and then went back to her own bunk. And that was the last time Nadine saw Catherine alive. Catherine died.
The sad thing, a month before the camp would have been liberated, she was in her 60s. So incredible work she was doing in the resistance. What did Samuel Beckett do in the French resistance?
Yes, Samuel Beckett is, you know, obviously a very famous writer, but he was involved in the resistance in intelligence work. Mm-hmm. And he was translating documents for the Allies. And he was involved in the resistance with his partner, Suzanne. But their resistance group was betrayed. And now Beckett was very lucky that he managed to evade arrest. And he fled with his partner, Suzanne, to the south of France, where they went into hiding for 2 years. And, you know, it's often said that this period of waiting possibly for death or waiting to be arrested or waiting for the war to end, that you can see the influence on that in many of his works, including Waiting for Godot, which
Absolutely.
Was written in 1953 after the war.
And Crap's last tape, because in later life he's looking back at all these incredible things that happened to him. He was awarded quite a few things in France, wasn't he, in honour of his service?
Oh, yes. He was given the Croix de Guerre and the Medaille de la Résistance. So he was, you know, highly honoured in France for the work that he did. And again, his story is like so many others, that they simply did what they had to do. I think Beckett is quoted as saying that you just couldn't simply stand there and keep your arms folded. You had to get involved.
The danger was extraordinary. There's even a brave gardener who makes an error that leads to his death, Robert Armstrong.
Oh, yeah. Robert Armstrong, you know, it's a beautiful story. He was a gardener. He fought in World War One and survived the Battle of the Somme. And then he became a gardener and he was working in northern France for the Commonwealth War Graves Commission as head gardener in a cemetery for people who had died in the wars. And he joined the French resistance and he began to work on the escape lines, you know, assisting the downed Allied airmen to escape capture from occupied Europe. But in 1943, he saw a German soldier kicking flowers away from one of the Allied graves. And he was so furious that he attacked the soldier and was arrested. Now, he did manage to escape, but then he was later caught and identified as a member of the resistance. And he didn't survive the war.
That's the end. December 1944.
Well, absolutely,
it's lovely. There were 12 of them in total. I'll go myself, Mary. It's called Irish in Resistance, Stories of Courage During World War II. And I have until the end of November at the Smashing Times Gallery in Sandy Cove. Mary Moynihan, thanks a million for that.
Thank you so much, Oliver.
And smashingtimes.ie is the best place to go and find information. We'll be back after these.
From the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.